Okay, so Parshat Shmini begins with, like we said yesterday, it's the eighth day of the Miluim. It's the first of Nisan. It's the day that Aaron HaKohen is going to become the Kohen. The first 7 days of the inauguration, Moshe Rabbeinu served as the Kohen. And now Aaron and his children become the Kohanim, and Moshe gives them a series of assignments of Karbanos to bring the Kvod Hashem, to bring the Shekhinah upon the Mishkan. And then a Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach. Moshe says to Aaron, draw close to the Mizbeach. And the question that bothers Rashi and the Ramban and any thinking Jew is, why does Moshe need to tell Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach, draw close to the Mizbeach? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. I'm just going to read it to you. Shaya Aaron Bosh Vayari Legeshes. Aaron needed chizuk. Aaron needed to be encouraged. Why? Moshe just told Aaron to bring the karbanos. Why do you have to tell Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach? Get close to the Mizbeach. He knows what he needs to do. You just told him to do it. It says Rashi, Aaron needed chizuk. Why did Aaron need chizuk? He's embarrassed. He's ashamed to approach the Mizbeach. Amar lo Moshe, Aaron, what are you worried about? Lama ata boish, lekach nivcharta. What are you ashamed of? What are you embarrassed of? This is what you were chosen. This is. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. When Hashem gives you an opportunity in this world, don't feel unworthy of it. Take advantage of it. So Aaron needed a little bit of chizuk. He felt unworthy. He felt unworthy of approaching the Mizbeach. He was boish. He was ashamed. He was embarrassed. And Moshe gave chizuk to his older brother and said, Aaron, don't be ashamed. This is what you've been chosen to do. Now, part of the reason that Aaron was ashamed is because if you look at the karbanos that he was asked to bring, Vayomer al Aaron kach lecha egel ben bakar. The first thing on the list is an egel. So Aaron says, egel. I'm going to bring an egel. Meaning, memonoshach. Either I'm embarrassed because I need the tikkun for the egel that I was maybe somehow involved with. Or I'm just embarrassed of the sight of an egel gets me ashamed and nervous and embarrassed. And Moshe says, don't worry, this is what you were chosen for. So let's see the Ramban. Let's see how he builds on Rashi. V'tam krav el ha-mizbeach, v'yikrav Aaron el ha-mizbeach v'yishchat. Moshe tells him to draw close, and then a pasuk ches Aaron draws close and he shechs. Al da'ati v'derech ha-pshat. First of all, what's the pasuk pshat? Pasuk pshat is that he was saying to him, "Kerav el tzufon hamizbeach, va'asei sham hachatas va'or." Draw close to the northern side of the mizbeach, where you will shecht the chatas and the ola. Why? Because we know kishchitas and b'tzafon. Because we know that what that the carbon chatas and the carbon ola are slaughtered along the northern side. Va'amar Moshe kained derech kitzara shekvar yada aron zeh. And Moshe didn't have to give Aaron precise instructions because he already knows where you process a carbon chattis or a carbon ola. Moshe just gave him the signal, okay, you can now approach the intended area for the carbon. Why doesn't he say, draw close to the northern side of the Mizbeach? Because Aaron already knew that. So the Torah is speaking B'lashon Katsara, but he's giving Aaron the green light to begin the process. That's Pashup Shat, probably. Okay. Krav, draw close to this particular spot of the Mizbeach. Okay. Aval b'toras kohanim, but in the Medrash, which we saw part of already in Rashi just now, nis'or rabbeinu b'zeva amru, Chazal were bothered by this question. Nis'or means they were aroused. Their curiosity was awakened by this question, and they said, "Why does Moshe need to tell Aaron to get close to the Mizbeach? He's right. He told him what to do already." Mashlo mashal lema davar dome. Chazal in the Medrash give a mashal. What's it like? Lemelech baser v'dam shenasa isha. Imagine a king, a very powerful king, who marries a woman. V'ha'isa misbayeshes milafanav. And she feels unworthy of being selected by the king. She doesn't feel worthy of his love. She doesn't know why she was chosen. Nichnasa etzla achosa. And because of that, she's being very reserved in her relationship with the king. She's not owning the fact that she's been chosen to be the queen. So her sister comes to her. Nichnasa etzla achosa. Her sister comes to her. Amr Allah, Achosin, my sister, Lama nichnast ledavar zeh. Why did you get involved in this marriage if you're going to not have a relationship with your husband? Lo shetishamshi as a melech, were you not, did you not marry the king in order to be able to serve before the king? So, hagisi da'atech, hagisi is like a lush, gas is like a lush of haughty or confident, right? Be a little more self-confident in your mind. Uvo yishamshi as a melech, and go serve before the king. Right? Meaning, if you're doing this, let's do it. If you're not, then don't. So Aaron, you've been selected. You're already the Kohen. So now, so come on, let's go. So bring the karbanos. Have the courage to bring the karbanos. Kach amar lo Moshe l'Aaron. Aaron achi, lama nivcharta lios Kohen Gadol? Why are you chosen to be Kohen Gadol? To stand on the sideline? You're the Kohen Gadol. Hashem chose you. You're the one. So go for it. Lo shesh tisharis lefnei ha-makom. You are selected to serve before the king. So therefore, I know you're a little bit, okay, it's an overwhelming task, but hages daitecha, have a little gasas ruach. Again, gasas ruach usually is a negative term, it means haughtiness, but have a little self-confidence, uvo va'avod, avodasla, and go do what's asked of you. Okay, so this is the longer version of the medrash that Rashi is referring to. V'yesh omrim, but there's another hesitation that Aaron had, we alluded to it. It has something to do with the fact that the first karbon on the list, again, is the kach lecha egel ban bakar lechatas. Take an egel as a sin offering. So yesh omrim, some explain. Haya Aaron roa es hamizbeach bitavnis shur v'haya misyari mimem. When Aaron looked towards the mizbeach and he saw what we refer to as the points or the horns, the karnos hamizbeach, he looked at the Mizbeach, and all he could see was what? The Mizbeach to him looked almost like what? Almost looked like a reminder of a shore, of an ox, of an animal. Somehow it reminded him of the eagle itself. Now look what the Ramban does with this. Nichnas Moshe etzlo amar lo Aaron achi, lo tiri mashat mizyari. Don't be afraid of those images that are appearing before your mind. In other words, sometimes a person, right, had an experience in that image. He can't get that image out of his mind. Wherever he looks, he sees something that reminds him of that thing. Or if he sees certain things, it reminds him of a particular bad experience. And it becomes a triggering experience for him. So he looks at the Mizbeach, and he sees the karnos of his back, and he's ashore, an eagle, oh yeah, he starts to think about his own averos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron, face your fears. Krav el Mizbeach. Don't run away from that... From that image before your eyes. Hagez daitecha uva krav elav. This is a fundamental, you know, technique of emotional healing, right? You have to face your fears out. You think running away from it's gonna make it go away? You'll spend the rest of your life seeing an eagle everywhere you turn. So face your fears. Have the confidence to stand up to whatever it is and work through it. Hashem is giving you this karma because Hashem is saying, I believe you, I want you to be close. Krav el mizbeach. The mizbeach, which is so intimidating to you, krav. It's an invitation to draw close again, to fix. Don't be afraid. Use that struggle to grow. Lekach amar krav el mizbeach. Ve'yikrav el mizbeach v'zrizus. And therefore Aaron was encouraged to, and he drew close to the mizbeach with passion, with zeal, with drive, with self-confidence. And the reason that Aaron was so sensitive, because let's remind ourselves, Chet HaEgel was a complicated sugya. And to put the entirety of the blame on Aaron as if he didn't have some plan, he was trying to do something good. Why is Aaron so paralyzed by what happened with the Chet HaEgel? He certainly was not the primary person calling for a replacement of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was trying to buy some time, perhaps, until Moshe returned. And even whatever it wasn't in the Avodah Zarah, according to the Ramban. Okay. So the reason that Aaron is so sensitive, says the Ramban, and it's an important lesson for us as well, is that God-fearing people are very sensitive to sin. Many of us, unfortunately, the reality is we live in a world where Yirat Shamayim is, I don't know, what should I call it, a lost art? We're not so overwhelmed by our avaros. Even if we feel badly about avaros, or even if we still identify it as wrong, but it doesn't it does An avera to Aaron was such a heavy thing. V'tam davar zeh ki ba'avur shaya Aaron kedosh Hashem. Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem. Aaron who knew his spiritual stature. V'ein b'nafsho chet zulasi maisa egel. It's a bold statement. Ramban says, and Aaron had no sin other than chet egel. This was the biggest error of his life. I don't know if it means he literally had no averos besides chet egel. I don't know if that's exactly what the Ramban is saying, but that's what the words mean. Right? He didn't have any avera that weighed on him, that sat upon his soul as heavily as chet egel. And therefore, hayah chet hahu kavua lo b'machshavta. Like a person who takes responsibility for his actions, Aaron, it did weigh upon him. He felt an achrayus. Ke'inyan shenamar, like David Melech said, v'chatosi negdi samid. David Melech says, my sin is before me constantly. I feel a sense of what? Of deep responsibility to fix, not to ignore, but to take responsibility for what I've done wrong. V'yinid malo ki'ilu tzura se'egel sham ma'akev b'chaparosav. And therefore, when Aaron looked and he still saw the eagle before his eyes, he felt maybe the kapara is not complete. Maybe this image of the eagle that appears before me is being ma'akev, is blocking, is holding back my kapara. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, it's the opposite. Right? The thing that you're afraid of is the opportunity for you to do the fixing. Don't run away from it. V'lekach amar lo hages daitecha. Strengthen yourself. Have the self-confidence. Shelo yesh shafal ruach kol kach. Don't be so humble, Aaron. Sometimes your own humility stops you from being your best self. Shekvar rotze elokim es masav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting you to fix. You were chosen to bring this egel ben bakar lechatas as a tikkun for the egel that you were involved in. Va'acher mefarshim. Let's just finish the piece. Va'acher mefarshim. Others explain. Shaya satan mara lo kein. Another way to explain it is that the Satan was what? Was trying to trip up Aaron. The same way that the great Rav Aaron of Karlin used to say that more than the Yetzirah desires the Avera, the Yetzirah desires the sadness that comes after the Avera. Because that Atzvah, that sadness, that Mara Shchora, that depression, could slam on the brakes of life. It could put a person's everything on pause. So the Avera is, you know, the Avera is the Avera, but if the Yetzirah can get you to become mitiyaish, to become so, fall into a state of despair because of the Avera, so the Satan was trying to stop Aaron, right? Aaron, because of what you did, you'll never be a real Kohen Gadol. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron, don't believe the noise. Overcome that Yetzirah. The Satan was showing him. The Satan was showing him this. Even though Hashem has forgiven you, you need to seal up the mouth of the Satan. You gotta hit back, otherwise the Satan's always going to be, you know, questioning you. It's like the Jewish people standing by Kriyas Yamsuf, and the angels in Shemayim are saying, "Really, are these Jews worthy?" And the Jews have to what? They have to push ahead. You got to sometimes plow ahead. There's going to be voices of opposition. Right? Sometimes it's our own self-doubt. Sometimes it's something outside of ourselves. In this case, this image that was being created by the Satan. Okay, so there are a lot of lessons here in Moshe giving chizuk to Aaron HaKohen, giving him the self-confidence. Important lessons in Aaron's own Yirah Shamayim and his own sense of ownership of his averos, taking responsibility for his averos. But at the same time, not allowing our averos to stop us from moving ahead. And then the Ramban just concludes, V'tam v'chaper ba'adcho v'ad ha'am. And when Aaron brings the karban, he brings it on behalf of himself and on behalf of the people, in that order, Yomar krav el mizbeach lasos kol karbanos. Perhaps another thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron, I just gave you a whole list of karbanos, which one should you do first? I'll tell you. Bring kapara for yourself, and then for the people. First bring your chatas and your ola, and then bring kapar for yourself first for your karbanos, and then afterwards What? Afterwards, bring kapara for the tzibur. Shetasa karban ha'am, mechaper ba'adam b'karbanam, to bring kapara for them. Limed oso, sheyavo zakai v'yachaper alachayiv. It's from here the Gemara derives in Yom Adaf Mem Gimel Amid Beis that someone who's innocent should be the one to bring kapara for someone who's guilty. In other words, Aaron, until you clean up your own mess, don't start cleaning up other people's mess. First, get kapara for yourself, and then once you're innocent, then you can help the tzibur at large, who's chayiv, to get kapara. That's a good rule in life also. Sometimes a person, you know, is trying to figure out, I wanna be involved in helping out in this project, in this area, I want to get involved in this chesed. Okay, that's all very good, right? But, you know, do I have my own act together first? I got to clean up my own mess first. Sometimes we overextend ourselves and get involved in saving my friend, but I'm not taking care of myself properly. So before you become that NTSY advisor who goes to save, you know, world jury, right? First make sure that you've got a little bit of stability in your own life. Because sometimes, you know, you overextend yourself and then you don't end up helping others, you don't end up helping yourself. So v'chiper ba'adcha uva'adam. First, practice what you preach, and then go out and preach. Then go out and inspire others and help others. Okay? Again, it's not always an absolute rule. Sometimes by helping others, that's how you help yourself. I understand that. But it's something to think about. Okay? So a lot of very, very important lessons. Okay, let's hear some quick comments. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. First put on your own oxygen mask and then assist the child seated next to you.
Exactly.
There are four exits on this.
I was just thinking that since we know that Moshe is the pinnacle of
Anavas,
and I've learned before in Hilchos Deos of the Rambam that humility isn't necessarily lowering yourself, but it's understanding what your place is.
Right, that's exactly what it says that one, right? You've been chosen for this. I mean, don't run away from the task. You didn't choose it yourself. You didn't haughtily, you know, in a haughty way, select yourself for this job. You were selected by God. Okay, you have some reservations. Right? Have the self-confidence. It's not gaiva, right?
And I don't know if we can get into this, but how Moshe is Netzach and Aaron is Hod. And
right.
How Hod is a very, like, passive waiting, accepting type of thing, and Netzach is the push forward.
Right,
like,
very good.
Bring this forward, come closer, keep going. And so, like, Moshe is the giving to Aaron.
Then. Right, and so Aaron has a lot of acceptance. Sometimes you need a Netzach, you need a Moshe to give an Aaron a push. It's a very good ha'ara. Yeah.
While it is important to not spread yourself too thin if you're not ready for that, there's still the idea of if you know all, teach all.
Right, for sure.
So we can't let
no,
that
for sure.
take away.
For sure. I agree. There's a time that, again, that a person goes out and teaches Aleph, and that itself helps that person to get the Beis, right? But there's also an important truth in what this halacha is telling us, and it's what the Kohen Gadol himself does on Yom Kippur, right? The Kohen Gadol first brings karban for himself, and then for his fellow Kohanim on behalf of the whole family, right? You have to first take a chrayus for yourself. But you're right. It's not a steadfast rule in all aspects of Avodas Hashem. I totally agree. Yes.
This whole episode is very, I don't want to say ironic, but the reason why Aaron isn't going out with purpose because Moshe was too humble, but was too passive and accepting the rule of taking Israel. And now, once Aaron is a Kohen, Moshe is telling him, go do your job, go do your role. It's Moshe.
So some actually
should have been Kohen.
Yeah, some actually explain that.
He's guilty of this himself.
Then that's exactly why he's teaching it to Aaron. He's saying, don't make the mistake that I made.
Yeah,
some explain that way, exactly. And Moshe is saying to Aaron, don't make the mistake I made. When Hashem chooses you, Moshe argued for a week by the snare, according to Chazal, debating Hashem if I can take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Aaron, take the job and run with it. Be proud of yourself. Yeah.
That was also before
Moshe. I just have like a question. It might be more like philosophical or theological. Like, the idea that like a goat should offer atonement to the people who are going. Like, how does that make sense? Maybe it's like beyond rational understanding, but the whole point is that they are guilty. He is not guilty. So when he's offering the kapara for them, it doesn't apply. Because they're the ones who have the guilty cousin. So why is it because he's the one who cleaned? It would be done for the opposite. He wants to move to the most filibero to offer kapara. Because if he can come,
I hear what you're saying.
If he can come, then someone who has less, they're in a good position.
Right.
If it's like a tzaddik, then like, nothing
right now. Right. Right. I hear that angle and that perspective. The flip side is I wouldn't want someone who was found guilty of murder to be my lawyer if I'm on a murder trial. Right? Meaning, I want someone who represents, you know, that positive success story.
Is it a trial or is it more? I know they use the trial. You don't care if it's like a trial. Sometimes the accuser. But it's not like a trial. It's more like coming to Hashem and kapara and asking for forgiveness. We're not asking for
like. I hear what you're saying. Again, we're not looking. It's not someone who is totally detached from it, right? We're talking about someone who was in a similar situation and was able to fix. So now that I've shown that I can fix a small mess, let me try to fix a bigger mess. I think that's the logic of it. But I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. Okay, let's turn to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's talk a little bit about the kashrus of birds and creatures that we find at the end of Parsha Shmini. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, it describes the kosher signs of animals and fish, and then it says by the birds, "Ves eila tishaktsu minaof, lo yeachlu sheketim." These are the birds that are off limits, and we have a very specific list. So, explains the Ramban. Let's take a look. Lo nesu mikol haofos elo eilu haniskarim b'parsha zo bilvad im minehem. The only birds that are prohibited. There's a lot of kosher birds. The only birds that are not permitted are those birds that are listed here on the parasha, along with their minehim, along with their species and their variations of their species. Ka'osan shenemar behem limino ulimina. Like we find, by some of them it says, with its species, male or female. Ki akosov lo hiskir siman ba'of tameh le'iser obetar leheter. Because unlike the clear signs of a kosher animal, or the clear signs of a kosher fish, by a bird, it doesn't give us the signs. It's interesting, no? It just gives us a list of which birds you're not allowed to eat. Look at the words again. Ki akosov lo hiskir simen ba'of tameh le'iser. It doesn't tell us what sign makes a non-kosher bird not kosher. O betar leheter. Or a pure bird, kosher bird, kosher. Aval amar ve'es eile teshak sumanof. It says these are the birds that are off limits. Lo acherim levad elo, and none others besides these. Seems like a rather limited list. V'chein b'shrotzim ha'tameim she'ezkirim b'prat. Similarly, we find by the shrotzim, by the insects, there's, again, a very specific list. Einam b'din hazeh bilti eile hanukuvim b'parsha b'shemos. The only ones that are included in this are those that are delineated here, specifically, right? Nekuvim, we had that word yesterday. Nokev Shem Hashem, right? One who enunciates. Said yesterday, it's first the person who curses in the name of Hashem. Right? But one who only those that are specifically mentioned here are prohibited. So so what is, the Ramban wants to really understand, so what is the sign of a not kosher bird? What do these birds have in common? Rabosenu lamdu simanim ba'ofos. And yes, we find that Chazal found certain indicators by birds. Vehein lahakir behen she'ein bal osan hasimanim min amina na'elo asurim. Again, things that offer indications of what are the birds, in fact, that are listed on this list. Because sometimes, it's hard to figure out what exactly, what animals, what species, what creatures was the Torah actually referring to. But says the Ramban, I'll make it simple for you. Hasimin Hagadol Baofos Hi Hadrisa. The ultimate sign of a non-kosher bird is a bird of prey. Hashem says, I don't want you eating birds of prey. Drisa, Doris. Drisa means a bird of prey. Shekol of Hadoris La'olam Tame. A bird that's a bird of prey is a Tame bird. Ki HaTorah Hirchikasu Mipnei Shedamo Mechumam L'Achzar Yusom. The Torah distanced us from such a bird because its blood is heated in its cruelty. It's seen as a cruel creature. Vishachor Vagas, its blood is blackened or dark and thick. Umolid Hamarira Hasrufa Vahashichar Choras. And a person who eats such a bird, it creates some of that negative energy inside of a person. To say it very simply, what the Ramban is saying, no? You are what you eat. By a Jew, you are what you eat. V'nosein achzarius believe. If you eat creatures that are cruel, it'll have a hashpa on you. It's very interesting. At the Seder, we do an interesting thing. And I like the way that I heard this here from one of the Rebbeim in our shul, Rav Tanchum Cohen Shlita. He had a very nice way of saying it. You know, we take the matzah, right? And we take the wine. And one of the reasons the matzah is called lechem oni, the Gemara says in Psachim, is because it's lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. It's bread upon which we speak out many things. V'igadat alavincha b'yom ahu b'avor zeh. When is there a mitzvah? Sipri yisiyas mitzvahim b'avor zeh. B'avor what? Because of this. B'avor zeh, explains Chazal, b'shoa shamatu mar munachim lefanecha, when the matzah and the mar are in front of you. So I'm telling the whole story over this cup of wine in the presence of the matzah and the mar. But then what do I do with that matzah and that mar and that cup of wine? Eat it. I eat it. So what am I doing? Right? I'm infusing the matzah, the mar, the wine with these holy words. And then what am I doing? I'm eating my words. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm eating my words. I infuse the story, my Hakar Satov, my Amunah, I infuse it into the food. Maybe that's what makes matzah the food of faith. It becomes infused with words of Amunah, Dibur Amunah. Lechem Oni, Sha'on and Alav Dvarim Harbe, and then I eat my words. So we believe as Jews, you are what you eat. So if I eat a creature that's a cruel creature, that's going to have Hashpa on a person. There's a logic of sorts, says the Ramban, to Kashrus. Ve'ein b'chol ha'olam of she'yidros mavad in this karma parsha. And all of the birds of prey are delineated, are spelled out in this parsha. And therefore, if you encounter a bird of prey, you know that's a not kosher bird. That's one of these birds or a variation of its species. And if you find the bird that's not a bird of prey, then you know, essentially, that bird is a kosher bird. Now, there are some birds that we don't eat because we don't have a Masorah. Right? Some people don't eat turkey because we don't have a clear Masorah. But as far as we're concerned, if you discover a new bird you never encountered before, and it's not a bird of prey, technically it should be seen as a kosher bird. Again, we may not have a tradition of eating it, but technically it would be considered a kosher bird. She'ein b'chol ha'isurim ov, she'ein odori zulasi achad, the only bird here that is not specifically a bird of prey that's on this list, hu peres o oznia, and the reason, v'lo chashu lo chachamim ne she'einu matzoi b'yishuv, and the Chachamim did not indicate that this bird would be problematic. In other words, when the rabbi said, bird of prey is the only thing you need to look at. Well, but there is one exception. It's true. It refers to the peres or the oznia, but those creatures are only found in far-flung places, bimidbaros, found in the wilderness, hushochin tamid, and therefore people are not going to really encounter them. Okay, so the general rule of thumb is that a bird of prey is off limits, and birds that are not doyres are kosher, right? And yeah, and the Ramban wants us to know that there's a hashpa when a person eats a creature that is cruel, that has an impact on a person. And the Ramban continues a number of lines later. Right? Do you see is there another paragraph here? V'hinei tam ha'isur ba'ofos.
Yeah.
You have that. 7-8 lines later. V'neitam ha'iser ba'ofos. And the reason, again, for the prohibition by birds, v'nei achzarios toldosam. Because of the cruelty that it engenders, that it creates within a person. V'ha'behemos yitochen shiukein. And the same thing might be true for those animals that the Torah asked us not to eat. Because animals that chew their cud and have split hooves are not dores. They are not animals that prey upon other animals. And therefore they're told that those animals that are not kosher, there's something off about them, says the Ramban. Like we find, shekol chalav hatahorim omed, v'chalav hatameim kulam einan nikva. The milk of a tahor animal congeals, can be made into cheese. It does what it's supposed to do, as opposed to the milk of a tame animal, which is not nikva. It doesn't congeal. It doesn't curdle. V'lo yisgabein la'olam, and it can't be made into cheese. And the Ramban says that's not natural, right? Milk is supposed to become cheese. So kosher animals do that. Non-kosher animals don't. V'hinei heim mishunim, and therefore they're strange. And we don't want to bring strange things into my mind, not into my heart, not into my stomach, not into my bloodstream. I don't want strange things inside of me. V'yitachin mizeh she'aziku be'evarei hazera. And it's for that reason that sometimes it's considered damaging to the reproductive organs. And the Ramban ends off on a funny note. He says, and I saw in Sifrei Nisyonos, I saw in books of medical experimentation, shechalav hachazir im yanak hayonek mimenu yaoso hana'ar mitzora. I heard, or I saw, in the books of medical experimentation, that if a person drinks from the milk of a pig, it'll cause a person to experience saras, and he concludes, and all of this indicates to us that there are certain very bad qualities to the non-kosher items expounded by the Torah. Right? So as much as we as Jews don't, you know, fully ascribe to the Shita that kosher is more healthy, but the Ramban is saying there is a truth to it. There is something more emotionally, spiritually, maybe even physically healthy about a kosher lifestyle. And there's something, you know, damaging, emotionally destructive when it comes to certain non-kosher animals and creatures. Yeah, Ozzy.
Isn't it weird that Hashem made every animal, then he's telling us that, like, oh, these are very strange, like, don't associate with them. And then therefore, like, what is the point of these other animals?
That's a good question, right? Why create animals that... Right? It's not that we don't necessarily associate with them entirely, but it's a good question, right? But that's a very good general question. There's so many things in the world that are, you know, destructive and negative, so how do I relate to them? Right? Why does Hashem allow for them to exist? Or specifically things that Hashem created, why did Hashem choose to create such things? Yeah, you have a thought?
Well, if you make it to the most simple... original thing, like why did Hashem create the Azadah if the whole point
right. is Adam Bechira. That's part of the name of the game. But there's options. Hopefully you'll choose wisely.
Like,
but it's interesting. It's interesting
like,
to think about.
Like, right.
I mean, some things I relate to more, you know, some things I have a more, right? Eating is a very intimate thing. That I'm allowing this thing to enter into my world, into my life, into my body. Right? When Potiphar, you know, refers to his wife as halechem, that he's ochel, right? Yosef was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house except for the bread that he eats. It's a euphemism, maybe it's even a sneeze way of describing, right? But why is he referring to his wife as the bread that he eats? The point is, the same way that we have an intimate relationship with our spouse, we have an intimate relationship with food. We bring food into our being. It sustains us. It becomes part of us. It becomes my flesh and blood. So the way that a Jew eats and what a Jew eats is a very significant thing. Yeah. Yeah.
What about fish? Do you eat fish that consume other fish?
we eat fish that consume other fish. Well, animals also consume other animals, right? The question does it specifically, you know, target them, right? There are animals.
The birds that we eat in the world, like seals, as well as bird in the world, like vultures, or like chickens in the world.
Right, you have animals that eat other animals. The question is its personality one of always, you know, being on the hunt? No, not necessarily. Sammy, so, you have a comment?
Yes.
Yes, we have Shmuel.
I might be wrong, but I think the Baal HaTanya says that, like, the difference between kosher and non-kosher is that kosher food you can extract the kedusha from.
Right.
I can see that. For sure.
Right. The nitzotzos are accessible versus not accessible. That's why the pig is right. The chazir will be chazir v'tshuva. That's right. Very deep idea. Well, the future of kashrus, the evolving future of kashrus, interesting thing. All right, let's do one more. Let's turn to Tazria. Let's turn to this week's parsha. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin. Okay, join me. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin. Let's get a little bit into the world of Tzaras, Aziz Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Tzaras is an unusual thing. Let's see. Okay, the Torah describes different types of Tzaras. There's Tzaras that could appear on one's home. There's Tzaras that could appear on one's garments. There's Tzaras that can appear on one's flesh. Now, the Torah describes over here in Pasuk Mem Zayin, Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin, V'habeged ki yevo nega tzaras. If a garment has a mark of tzaras upon it, the beged samar or beged pishtim, it could be a woolen garment, it could be a linen garment. Okay? Says the Ramban. I want to tell you something, says the Ramban, about tzaras, the nature of tzaras, right? And why, as the Chafetz Chaim explained, it's a tragedy that we don't have tzaras anymore. We think, wow, we're lucky we don't have tzaras anymore. But the truth is, it's not a good thing at all. Says the Ramban, V'habeged kiyebo neged tzaras, a garment that has upon it tzaras. Ze ha'inyin eineno b'teva klal. First of all, you should know that when we talk about tzaras, tzaras is not any type of medical illness. It is not any type of natural appearance, right? Totally unusual. Tzaras is not b'teva klal. V'lo hove ba'olam. It is not part of the regular ebb and flow of life. It is not a regular thing. It doesn't exist in this world. V'chein nige habatim. And the same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to the tzaras of the home. In other words, the Ramban is commenting here because when it comes to skin diseases, we do have that in the natural world. We have that. We have medical conditions where you should find a good dermatologist. The Ramban says, from the fact that the Torah has tzaras of garments and tzaras of the walls of your house, that should be a good indicator to us, says the Ramban, that we're dealing with something of a spiritual nature. Aval b'hiyos Yisrael shleimim la'Hashem. But since the Jewish people have this relationship with Hashem, this wholesome relationship with Hashem, where Hashem wants us to be at our very best, Yeruach Hashem Aleim Tamid. Hashem interacts with us. Chaver, the Chafetz Chaim writes such sad words describing how sad it is that we don't have tzaras anymore. The gift of tzaras is Hashem interacting with you. He's saying that your actions, your speech, your decisions matter, and there's repercussions for it. It's almost like the Vart that they say from Meir, from Ishlan, from Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, other tzaddikim. It's just Rav Yitzchak of Vorki's yard site on Achron Shal Pesach, the Heilige Tzaddik of Vorki. I'm sure you know Rav Yitzchak of Vorki. Some of you know it from the famous story of the Ocean of Tears. That was Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, standing by the Ocean of Tears. Anyway, so Rav Yitzchak of Vorki said, the curse of the Nachash, what was the curse of the Nachash back in Bereishis? It's going to eat dirt all the days of its life. So everyone asks, why is that a curse? Right? It's an abundance of food. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet forever. The answer is because God says, take the credit card, you know, buy yourself whatever you need, but just don't talk to me. That's a curse. So when Hashem would punish us with tsaras, that meant that Hashem was paying attention to us. That was a bracha. Painful bracha sometimes, but that's a bracha. That means God is involved in your life. When we don't have tsaras nowadays, it's almost as if Hashem has given up on us. There's a terrible Hester punim, a divine concealment in that. That's a tragedy. So says the Ramban, exactly. Hashem, because of Hashem's close relationship with Klal Yisrael, the spirit of Hashem, the Ruach Hashem, is constantly upon us. Lahamid gufam ubigdayam ubateyam b'maratov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to the appearance of your body, of your house, of your clothing. And Hashem wants it to be nice. Hashem wants it to be attractive. V'kashar yikra be'echad mehem chet v'avon. But when a Jew does not use these things in the right way, Hashem sends a message. Yizhava ki'ur b'bisaro. Hashem sends something repulsive, ugly, to his flesh, or to his garment, or to his house. Laharos ki Hashem sar me'elav. Saying to him that Hashem is disappointed with you, and Hashem has turned from you, sar me'elav. Hashem has turned away from you. And hopefully, if you're obviously a Jew who values that relationship, you'll want to correct it right away. You'll want to be close again. It's terrible. In a relationship where the couple has grown apathetic, where they don't even get angry at each other anymore because they've just kind of given up on the relationship, that's a tragedy. It's the biggest tragedy. So Hashem sending us a message when we get tzaras is actually a big bracha. It's Hashem saying, I care about you. I care about this relationship. What you did was hurtful. Right? And I want to talk about that. I want to send a message. And that explains to us very clearly why in Perek Yudalid, in Parshas Mitzora, we find what? We find that tzaras is described specifically as coming to the homes of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Achuzaschem. That the Torah says that the homes in Eretz Yisrael will be afflicted with tzaras. Why dafka in Eretz Yisrael? Ki hi makas Hashem b'bayis ahu. Because this is, again, an indicator from Hashem on this Jewish home. And a proper Jewish home, of course, is in Eretz Yisrael. V'yinei enenu nohig ela ba'aretz. Shehi nachlas Hashem. That this type of, again, direct interaction with Hashem, where Hashem responds to your actions and sends you messages, that's part of being in the heritage, the land of Hashem. Kisavo al eretz kanaran asher anino sein lachem la'achuza. My land, Hashem says, that I'm giving you as a portion. Ve'ein adavar mipnei heyoso chovas karka. Says the Ramban, don't think that tzaras applies in Eretz Yisrael because it's a chovas karka. What does he mean by that? The Ramban is saying is that if you look in the Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin, right, we know that mitzvos that are dependent upon the land are in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvos that are not connected to the land, such as wearing tefillin, applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Honoring your parents has nothing to do with the land, so that applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Mitzvos that are dependent, that are tluyos ba'aretz, are sometimes exclusive to Eretz Yisrael. So you might say, well, what does tzaras have to do with Eretz Yisrael? So Ramban says, well, it's not a chovas karka. It's not because of its connectivity to the earth itself. It has nothing to do with your house being attached to the ground. It has to do with what? The quality of the godly relationship that a Jew has with Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. Aval mipnei shelo yavo ha'inyin ahu ela ba'aretz hanivcheres asher Hashem hanichbad shochin v'socha. Tzaras is a gift. Tzaras means that Hashem is close to you and wants to be close to you. And therefore, only in the land that is chosen, where Hashem's presence is found, is one zeicha to the schus of tzaras. And more than that, says the Ramban, two more lines, uvitoras kohanim, he quotes the Medrash. In the Medrash Toras kohanim, darshu, it explained, she'ein habayis metame ela achar kibush v'chiluk. Interesting. A house does not become afflicted with tzaras until the Jewish people conquered and settled the land. Until each person has been given his portion. Why? Vatam explains the Ramban. Listen to this. Ki oz nisyashva datam aleim, lidasas Hashem, visishra shchina besochem. I'll say it in loose translation. The Ramban is basically saying, because what's the point of God sending you a message if you're too busy and too distracted to get the message? Hashem is going to wait till they settle into the land, and their das is nisyashev da'atam aleihem, that their minds are settled, that each person has his house, right? And now he's settling into life, and now he can notice that Hashem wants to be a part of that life. I mean, he's too busy trying to get the summer internship, trying to land the job, trying to get the shidduch, trying to buy the house. He almost becomes too busy for Hashem, tragically. And Hashem says, you know, I don't want to waste a message on this guy because he's too self-absorbed to even get the message. But once a person settles into the land, and he becomes aware that he has this chus of living in Hashem's land, and he's listening, he's paying attention to the messages of Hashem in a different way, then Hashem says, then it's kedai, then it's worthwhile for me to send you a message. Okay? Last but not least, where the Ramban just doubles down on this point, I'll just show you one more line. In Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Lamed Dalid, the Pasuk that he just referenced, let's just go there for 1 second. We'll end with this. Parshas Mitzora, Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Lamed Dalid. Again, here the Torah again clearly highlights when you come to the land, Kisavo El Arts. You come to Eretz Canaan. Okay, again, one more time. Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Kisavo El Eretz Canaan Asher Anino Sem Lachem Lachuza. V'nasati Neged Tzeras V'beis Eretz Achuzaschem. Again, just very briefly, says the Ramban. Omer Akosav B'nigei Habatim V'nasati Neged Tzeras. I am going to bring Neged Tzeras. Why does it emphasize I am going to give you Tzeras? Hashem is saying, because this is not something that you picked up by not washing your skin properly. Ki yad Hashem ta'asezos. Lo teva klal. This is not a natural illness. Don't confuse it. Tzaras is not leprosy. If you drink pig's milk, the Ramban says, right, maybe you'll develop leprosy. That's the tzaras that he was talking about before when he said, I saw in medical experimentation books that drinking impure milk can have damaging effects on one's body. Here, this is entirely a spiritual illness. Lo teva klal. It's not natural at all. And that's why the pasuk says, Va'amar kisavo al eretz kanan. Beveis eretz achuzascha. It's dafka when you come to the land of Canaan. It's dafka when you come to the land of achuzascham, of your possession. Kim kol Yisrael yadaver. It's speaking to what? It's speaking to klal Yisrael. Even though the pasuk right before it says, Hashem said to Moshe and to Aaron, right? It clarifies that, no, Moshe and Aaron, you're being told this on behalf of the Jewish people. You would expect the pasuk to say, Moshe and Aaron, go tell Bnei Yisrael this. Why doesn't it say that? It's self-evident that we're talking to all of Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't mention it here. Or Moshe and Aaron are being spoken to as representatives of Klal Yisrael. But again, it's clear that this is for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. And again, the reason is to remind us that this is clearly a divine sign in your midst, and it's not something natural that occurs to a person. And the Ramban concludes, V'yirmos ki eina kavana ata rak l'lamid lehem dine tzeras kulam, v'sheyilmu du asam l'kohanim, and Moshe and Aaron are being told to teach this to Bnei Yisrael. Okay, but it's not natural. And therefore, we have to mourn the fact that we no longer have the miracle of Tzaras in our lives. Yeah.
Is it possible that the reason why another reason why it's in Israel is because that's a way of expressing relationship with God is like whatever it's not.
I think so. I think entirely so.
The reason we don't have the data English anymore is being of Lachavero, correct?
Right.
Would that have anything to do with Sarat, in the sense that if we're talking badly about other people, Hashem's like, you don't...
Yeah, it's almost like it's gotten so out of control that it's almost, I can't run, you know?
I can't do this anymore, you don't deserve this anymore.
Right, it's exactly. This was like for the exceptional case where a Jew did something shocking and needs a wake-up call, right? And now, unfortunately, we've created such a culture of...
Everyone's tunnel.
Right. It's news. Yeah, it's a pretty sad reality. But the Chofetz Chaim writes again very strongly in his Sefer, don't don't think that we don't have tsaras and that's like a good thing. It's a tragedy. Yeah.
Why does like Torah and Hashem need to emphasize that like he is the one doing it? It's not natural. If like there's tsaras that's on the walls of your house, like a coat, it makes sense for like if it's on your skin. Say, oh, it's a natural.
No, because it's easy for a person to look at things that are happening and, you know, and say, the Torah wants to highlight here that this, you know, maybe this is just some type of skin disease. Go to my doctor. I don't have to go to a Kohen. Okay, so that's part of the reason the Ramban said it's on your house and on your clothing as a clear indicator that this is different. This is not a regular. But even that, maybe I have some strange mold growing on the walls of my home. Right, how do I know it's, you know, and it's again, it's easy to reject the messages from Hashem and to make excuses.
Just like, based on the Lashon Hara, is it only Lashon Hara or is it any Kavir?
He doesn't specifically emphasize Lashon Hara here. The Gemara has a whole list of possible things that causes Lashon Hara, that causes Saras.
Like, if it adds to any Avera, then you Avera every day.
No, it's not any Avera. The Gemara has a list of particular character flaws that lead to Saras. Being stingy, for example, tzaras ayin, right? A certain negative outlook could bring a person to tzaras. Lashon hara is the most commonplace cause of tzaras. That's why we all, you know, assume lashon hara tzaras equals lashon hara. But there are other examples on the list. Say again, and Miriam, right. Okay, so Chaver, just in quickly in review. So what do we see today? We saw a beautiful Ramban about Moshe giving chizuk to Aaron. And Aaron's sensitivity to his own averos, and the courage to confront some of our demons, whether they come from within or come from without. Very powerful idea. Right, and then we saw the importance of recognizing what we put into our body has a hashpa on our souls. Right? Not just our physical body, but it has, when you eat certain things that have a certain cruel nature, that has a negative hashpa on a person. And then we saw a couple ideas about Saras, and specifically its connection to Eretz Yisrael, right? And the importance of recognizing the messages that Hashem sends us in Eretz Yisrael, which should be a challenge to all of us. Why are we still sitting here in Washington Heights? And the answer is, I don't know. Sarach Yen. All right, we'll get there, Eretz Hashem. All right.